Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shavonna Robert-Schreiber.
Hello, I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson Bowman Lombardi. All the things. The fashionista. What else am I? Fashionista, bio babe.
Co-host.
I am co-host of Culture Club HTX.
I'm something else.
Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who's never walked a sideline.
You've been absent.
I went to Cartagena, Colombia. I did not get drugged up or eaten alive or shot at.
Do you have your kidneys?
Oh, it was so beautiful. Yes, I have my kidneys.
Okay, good.
It's a beautiful place.
Okay.
And I'm here with my beautiful, beloved, blessed, black and bossy. You know who.
Whatever. Shavonna Robert-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, the eighth wonder of the world, the parliamentarian.
Hardly.
And the attendance keeper. So lovely, you were absent and...
I was.
It was a little bit of sadness, but that's
well,
okay.
Baseball boyfriend, Bob. So let me just qualify that. On February 10th, it was my father's 106th birthday.
And wow.
It would have been my 6th wedding anniversary. So I've been doing a lot of stuff around the ex-husband, late husband.
Oh, my God.
He is an ex, I guess. But the late husband, Bob. So I said baseball boyfriend, Bob. He is husband emeritus. Mm-hmm. He's the last husband.
Husband emeritus. Let's just go with that.
Yeah.
It's classy.
I like that.
Isn't that classy?
Yeah.
Somebody just said it this week, okay. And I was like, ooh, I'm using it. So you've been... doing a lot of what? Tell me what you've been
cavorting.
Doing. Okay,
we walked. They have a street tour. We did historical tours. We laid at the pool, which was great. They had a big storm while we were there, so we did not get to go on our private yacht to an island by ourselves. So we didn't get to do that. But otherwise, the food and the restaurants are spectacular.
Speaking of food, did you have a cookie today?
I had two cookies, real cookies.
Say more.
Homemade real
Say
cookies.
More. I'm just going to stare
well,
at
so
you.
I was at the Warner Roberts Sweethearts announcement thing.
Oh, is
at
that
Saks.
Why you're all red?
That's why I have red on, and I hadn't had lunch. I've been running all
so
day.
So she ate two cookies.
Well, and the favors they were supposed to be giving to people who made donations, but they were homemade cookies, and I just took them and I ate them both almost before I started my car.
Before you
they
realized
so
it,
good.
Was it one of those things you're like, oh my God, I just ate both of these cookies?
I just ate both of these cookies.
Okay, so something else.
So possibly 400 calories, but probably 200. I don't know.
We'll walk around in a circle really quickly on a break, but it's the time of year we're in sports, right?
Oh my goodness. It's
your
my
favorite time. What is it?
Well, it's March Madness, which we're going to do a bracket and not for the pros.
Are we going to do a bracket?
We all know that.
What's a bracket? Let's talk about it. What's a bracket?
A bracket's an easy thing to figure out. It's how you rank everybody and where they go as you're ranking them.
Magical,
it's
you're
your
laughing.
Projection. Isn't it your projection? Isn't that a bracket?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's the all 64, 68 teams are seeded, and we're predicting matchups as we lead up to the national championship, Final Four and the national championship.
Can I start with the Final Four?
Well,
what if I start with Sweet 16?
You mean you're not going to do a bracket until you get to the Sweet 16?
Okay. Well, I could.
You could implore a method.
It's up
that,
to the boss here, babe.
You could do what you want to do.
And you could do methods like I had my mom do mascot picking one year.
Oh,
and she picked based off mascots.
Cute. Well, yeah.
All hers were
Cougar,
Bears. So.
Not the Longhorn. Wow.
The Longhorns have a shot. I don't follow basketball so much. Women's basketball, I know they're doing really well.
Well, men's. We can do one for them. We can do a bracket for men's and women. So, yeah, we can do both.
We're equal opportunity here at Culture Club HTX.
So, Magical, who are you? Who do you think? Who you got?
Of course. Go Cougs. Okay. All day, every day.
Magical. You know, we love you, but, every once in a while you go off the rails. But we do
well,
have
aren't the Cougs going to win?
The University of Arizona Wildcats is who
Oh my goodness.
I am a
How
Hall
did
of Famer.
I miss that?
I am a Hall of Famer. I kind of have to go for them.
Well, I didn't realize they were in it.
They are very in it and very undefeated, like
undefeated
right now.
Actually, I think we lost one game the other
night. No, undefeated right now.
Yeah. So there you go. Anyway, so here's the thing, lovely. We're going to do a bracket. So listeners, do you hear this? We're going
when
to
do,
do
we do that?
We're going to do it probably next week.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to do a bracket. And should we bet? Should we make a bet?
Well, by the time this is airing, Arizona and U of H will have played in the regular season.
Here, which they haven't played yet. Mm-hmm. When is that game?
February 21st.
Okay.
So yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And at the time of this recording, we don't know who won.
We
but
don't know yet,
I mean, I think we can assume U of H won.
Well, whatever. If you're magical and allegedly lovely. I can't believe
I'm in my red.
You've turned
I'm
coat.
In Coug red.
I respect
the University of Arizona Wildcats also are red.
Are they?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I should know more.
Hello.
Arizona. My best friend of life, in case you don't remember. She went to Arizona.
Look at this. You see this stunned?
Yeah, you're stunned.
So the other thing that, so we'll get to your bracketology knowledge, but while you're gone, I've decided I'm going to collect crocodiles.
That's an alligator.
Oh, I mean alligators. I mean,
I don't think they do crocodile pins. That's the only reason I know.
Yeah, I'm going to do
this. This is really fabulous. Where did you find that?
So I got it at the TD.
At Francis Valentine?
Yes.
Is that what you went in to
get?
This
is what I went in to get.
At Francis Valentine.
Yes. So I've decided that I'm going to start to collect
That's very good.
Right? Is that not good?
To have something that you collect, yes.
Yes.
And soon you'll turn around in your house and there's hearts everywhere and you're a little old lady. I mean, I can't get away from the damn thing.
That one heart you have, you won't give to me. I want it.
Which one?
The white one that Andre
with never.
His face.
Yeah, no, never. No, but I have to laugh. And this is really, truly, I mean, I was running Evan Pacone at the time, so it's 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But for my birthday, my staff was like 20 or 25 people. It was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And every gift was a heart.
Oh,
and I remember
right.
thinking, this needs to change. I mean, this is a little predictable and quite scary. And no, it did not change.
Well, there you go. Speaking of, your birthday's coming up, lovely. What are we going to do?
We're going to have lunch and we're going to make a big announcement for my birthday.
Okay.
Get ready, everybody. Big
Stand
announcement
by,
coming.
As you would say.
Stand by.
And we probably should also go to a commercial because we need to talk about your knowledge of bracketology. I was going to say blackitology, but that maybe. But you know that. You know black
commercial?
People.
Commercial?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay.
Why not?
We'll come back. At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
It's Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Siobhana Robert-Schreiber.
And we're back. I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson Bowman Barty, the fashionista. Bio Babe is in biography, not biology.
Oh my gosh.
And Coach Who Nelson, knew? The greatest football coach who's never walked a sideline. And I'm also co-host of Culture Club HTX.
Which is what you're listening to.
And I'm here today with my beautiful, blessed,
brilliant. Here we go. Go.
Black and bossy.
Whatever.
Co-host.
Siobhana Robert-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, the eighth wonder of the world, and the parliamentarian who works hard every episode to
and
keep
fails.
Lovely in line. But not We are great, but we have an even greater guest with us today.
We really
today.
Do. We're so excited. To
Who's
have
with us, Bio Babe?
Dr. Esmail, correct?
Yeah.
That works. PORSA, President and CEO of Harris Health System, Harris County's safety net academic health system that operates Ben Taub and LBJ hospitals and a network of community clinics serving our most vulnerable neighbors. Under his leadership, voters approved a $2.5 billion bond to modernize facilities, expand trauma capacity, and bring care closer to communities, including a new level one capable hospital rising on the LBJ campus, which you just put the tree on top of,
right? That's
right. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about access, capacity, and what it really takes to build a healthier Houston, which we all care about because this is the greatest city in the world, and how do we keep it that way? Okay.
So thank you so much for being here and for all that you're doing for Houston and Harris County. So let's talk about that. So for listeners who only know of Bentob as the emergency room, can you talk more about what is Harris Health, who relies on it the most, and just give a more comprehensive view of the system?
Absolutely. And you're going to have to stop me because I love talking about Harris Health.
I'm the parliamentarian. Don't worry. I got it.
First and foremost, thank
well, you
for
won't
having
want
me.
To. I've heard him.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having
of
me.
Of course.
Yes, it's an honor. But get into your question. So almost exactly 60 years ago, residents of Harris County voted to create Harris County Hospital District, now Harris Health, with the statutory mandate to take care of the indigent, the uninsured and underinsured members, residents of Harris County. Mm-hmm. Over the last 60 years, Harris Health has become so much more than that. You touched on our hospitals, Level 1 Trauma Hospital, Bentob. Very proud of that hospital. Level 3 Trauma Hospital, LBJ, the busiest Level 3 Trauma Hospital in Texas, if not in the United States. Proud of both of our hospitals. But what I'm really excited about and proud of is what you refer to as our community health centers across Harris County. Almost 40 locations providing primary care, specialty care. We have a freestanding dental clinic, freestanding chronic dialysis, freestanding endoscopy suite. We had the first HIV/AIDS clinic, Thomas Street Clinic, in the United States several decades ago that continues today at the renovated Quintemise Clinic, and a whole host of other services, including the largest network of healthcare for the homeless in Harris County.
Wow.
We have 8 clinics inside the homeless shelters, and we have mobile and medical, dental, behavioral health, and mammography.
I didn't know that.
Serving our homeless population, and as of 3.5 years ago, almost 4 years now, taking care of the inmates inside the Harris County Jail.
And we're going to talk more about that in particular.
Sure,
I know that's a passion of yours.
Sure, it is. So, yes, so we truly serve the entire county, but really, really important is the fact that we also train the future healthcare providers of this county. In partnership with UT Health Houston and Baylor College of Medicine, we train more than 2,500 residents and fellows every year. Chances are that no matter where you get in your healthcare, Memorial Hermann, Methodist, HCA, St. Luke's, it doesn't matter. Chances are your doctors did their training at Harris Health. Currently, 45% of all the doctors practice in medicine in Harris County completed their training at Harris Health.
Huh.
So we truly trained the entire medical community taking care of Harris County and City of Houston.
So nobody understands that. We think you're Bentob. It's the ER. Everybody's getting shot and they're coming to you.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, clarifying that is huge for all of us, because I'm guessing even behind these victims of accidents and crime and all the things, there's a functioning hospital there with real people that come there because they're sick, not shot, right?
Not only that, but when you think about it, and thank you for clarifying that, you know, yes, people think about Bentob, LBJ, we take care of the indigent. Yes, we do. But, you know, accidents don't care if you have health insurance or you don't.
That's right.
People who fall from a building, it doesn't matter if you have insurance or you don't. People who are victims of major trauma, we take care of the entirety of the community, not just the indigent.
I mean, I am hardly indigent, and I've had a car wreck, you know, in front of Target on Westheimer and Shepherd, and I was going to Bentob because
that's where you want to go.
It was a trauma, and that was the right place to go. So I think that I think people understanding the nature of Harris Health is absolutely huge. But again, We're continuing to lead the nation in uninsured individuals, and Medicaid's unwinding. You know, I mean, what does all this mean for the rest of the world? And what are the biggest pressure points for you? I mean, people say to me, oh, I don't care if they don't have insurance. And I think to you, who's going to pay for their hospital? Moi. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it isn't free. I mean,
and not only that, you know, it's actually more than that. I mean, people think that you know, they say indigenous people who are uninsured. Who are those people?
Mm-hmm.
Those are our neighbors. Those are the people who work in our grocery stores, in our gas stations, who work in our small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
More than 95% of the businesses in Texas are small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Those businesses have to provide health care. That cost is increasing, so a lot of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
So people are left without health insurance. So it's not just this thing about others. It is us. It is this community that relies on our services. And getting to your point about what is unfortunately happening in this country with the $1 trillion cut in Medicaid funding, what is happening to the Affordable Care Act, there is going to be thousands, if not millions, of people who are soon going to be left without access to health insurance.
I know.
So as significant and as large as the need is for our services, that need is going to grow exponentially in the future months and years that are to come. And that's one of the things that I keep emphasizing every chance that I get, is that the time to prepare for the tsunami of additional patients that are going to be relying on Harris Health Services is today.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Not last year.
If not,
you know,
last year.
I mean, it's this is not a surprise. Well, the surprise of the cuts to Medicare and
Medicaid.
I mean, but what happened with the ACA, they've been targeting for a long time. Not that we thought they'd be successful, whoever they are.
So but, with that being said, so there are new projects to expand capacity.
Yes.
At some of the hospitals. So for example, LBJ. So there, what's an update on what's happening with this level one expansion and what's happening at LBJ? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So very excited about that. It's a level one trauma capable hospital that is being built on LBJ Hospital. You know, it's really crazy to think that the bond was passed less than 3 years ago. We broke ground less than 2 years ago.
You're ahead of schedule,
and,
right?
And we are. And we topped off the building a couple of Fridays ago in a big celebration of our 60th year anniversary, and also unveiled the name of the new hospital, John M. O'Quinn Hospital.
Ah.
And the reason for that is that Harris Health was fortunate to receive the largest single gift ever given to a safety net hospital in the state of Texas by John O'Quinn Foundation.
Yes. Awesome.
In the amount of $40 million.
Mm.
You know, I mentioned during the celebration that we made a promise, Harris Health made a promise to the Harris County residents that we're going to raise $100 million over the next 10 years through philanthropy to help fill the void. Because the $2.5 billion is not enough for everything we are doing and trying to do. And we are 7 years ahead of schedule.
That's
awesome. We've
already
raised $100 million.
That's fantastic.
Which is exciting. But what is most exciting about it, and what I'm really excited about, is the fact that we, Harris Health, have been able to better tell our story and create a trust in our community to the point that people have opened their wallets because they believe in our mission and in our ability to achieve the goals that we have set for ourselves.
So one of the things that you're doing at this LBJ campus is this idea of the urban farm and food pharmacies, which is pretty progressive, I think.
Yes.
And great, in our opinion. You know, we talk all about wellness in all of its capacities here. So talk to us a little bit about the food pharmacies, and then how will you measure the ROI of food as medicine in this context of safety net care?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. You know, we talk about, you know, food as medicine. A lot of people talk about it. The question has always been, is there any proof that actually that is a valid assumption, right? And the way I'll talk about this is that our mission at Harris Health is to improve the health of our community, especially those who need us the most. I always follow that by saying that we will never have enough hospitals, we will never have enough clinics, we will never have enough doctors and nurses to achieve that mission. For us to do that, we need to step outside of this crazy notion of healthcare being doctors and nurses and hospitals and clinics.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much more to health.
How do we get to wellness?
Food, exactly. Mm-hmm. Food is a big part of that. So you're right. When this hospital opens its doors in January 2029, if not before then, we will have the largest working farm of any hospital in the United States, which I'm very proud of. What does that mean? We are currently screening every one of our patients, 100% of our patients, at our hospitals and clinics for food insecurity. If we find them to be food insecure, we, Harris Health, provide them with 30 pounds of fresh fruits and vegetables every 2 weeks for 6 months.
30 pounds feels like a lot.
it is a lot.
Yeah.
At the end of the 6 months, if they're still food insecure, we hand them over to the food pantry and mm-hmm. Houston Food Bank. What we've been able to show over the last 6 years that we've been doing this is that our people with poorly controlled hypertension and diabetes who participate in this program, they do so much better than folks that are just receiving medications. Just proof the fact that food as medicine actually works.
So you get, that's how you're measuring it.
That's how we're measuring. Okay. We're actually able to show that there is improved blood pressure control, mm-hmm. reduced hemoglobin A1C, which is a measure of diabetes control, and we actually have data to show this. And this is how we get our board to support the fact that we have food pharmacy at every one of our clinics.
So can this, I mean, in my mind goes to how then can Harris Health be the leader in having helping other healthcare systems do the same thing? Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if yeah. you're testing this out, you're proving that this is, in fact, true. It works. So then I think every other system, even if we just stay in Texas, like, how do you then help them develop something similar?
Yeah, so we tell the story, just like we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. But, and I need to be careful on how I say this. So this works really well for a safety net hospital like Harris Health, which is, you know, our mission is actually to keep people out of our hospital.
Yes.
Right.
And even our clinics, getting back to the wellness mm-hmm. issue, right? We want to keep people well so mm-hmm. that they don't need our services. That is very different for a non-for-profit or for-profit system.
Mm-hmm.
Because their bottom line is their mission. There is nothing wrong with that. But it is not the same as what we are trying to achieve.
Dr. Porsa, so one of the things that was proposed and is happening in this new plan is 100 plus bed tower, patient bed tower, right across from Cambridge Street. So about almost 8.9 acres within Herman Park. So that's been, we learned about it, you know, I guess many months ago now.
Probably via, 6 months at least. Yeah.
Via the Herman Park Conservancy Board. We heard you speak there. So talk to us a little bit about why that site in particular, because I know, you know, there's lots of conversation around why there versus anywhere else. And then what problem does that particular site solve for patients and clinicians?
Absolutely. So let me correct what you just said just little bit, just to be
exact.
So this land is not across Cambridge Street. It's actually across Lamar Fleming.
Okay.
The land is separated from Herman Park, the golf course, and the zoo by Cambridge Street.
Okay, got
and
it.
South
Thank
Bracewood.
You.
Sure.
Right, because Cambridge goes around.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
So it is literally across a Bentop Hospital mm-hmm. and immediately adjacent to the entrance to the emergency room to Bentop Hospital.
Got it. Okay. That
makes sense. Lamar Fleming. Yes, it is part of Herman Park. It does not have any of the amenities of Herman Park. It is owned by the City of Houston. Really, really important is that no matter what we do on that land, in no way is that going to impede access to Herman Park or impact any of the amenities of Herman Park, the zoo, or the golf course. That's really, really important because people are so confused about that.
Yes.
Get into your main question about what does this mean to be able to use this land. Bentop Hospital, 98% of the time, basically all the time, is at a saturation level, meaning every bed in the hospital is taken up by a patient.
Every single bed.
Every single bed.
Wow.
In our emergency room, in our inpatient unit, in our observation unit. Sometimes we actually use the post-anesthesia recovery beds because we don't have enough beds in the hospital. What that means is that when people are showing up to our hospitals, which we take all patients, we can never close down the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
People end up staying in an emergency room sometimes more than a day, waiting to get inside the emergency room to see a physician. At some point, we have to make room for additional patients coming to the emergency room. What we are forced to do is actually take care of our patients on stretchers in hallways of the hospital, sometimes for the duration of the hospital stay.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't have to explain, that is not a way to take care of patients. It's not humane.
Mm-hmm.
It's not compassionate, and not to mention about the quality and patient
and
safety issues
and all of
privacy,
that. Yeah.
All those issues. So this land provides a very unique opportunity of creating this additional 100 inpatient beds. Because of its proximity to Bentop Hospital, we can actually connect this facility to Bentop Hospital through a sky bridge over to Lamar Fleming,
mm-hmm.
making it part of Bentop Hospital so that it can operate under the same hospital license and the same level one trauma designation. Creating this somewhere else would not in any way address the capacity issue at Bentop Hospital, not to mention the fact that we would then be forced to create everything that Bentop Hospital has to offer in terms of doctors, nurses, support services, radiology, phlebotomy, operating room. I mean, you name it.
You name it,
whatever
yeah.
makes a hospital a hospital. So this is truly a unique opportunity and really the only feasible, prudent use of taxpayers' money to create this expansion facility.
Will there be a lot of renovations in Bentop once the new 100
to
bed?
Support, yeah.
So, yeah. so yeah, the renovation of Bentop is ongoing.
Okay.
Actually, we have been spending millions of dollars renovating the Bentop Hospital. The biggest investment was the emergency room at Bentop Hospital. We now have 98 private bays to take care of our patients in the emergency room. 98.
That is so many.
Except when you know, every day, and this is something that I shared with the commissioners a couple of weeks ago, it is not infrequent in the mornings because we have a 10 o'clock safety huddle every day. It is not infrequent that I hear that 60, sometimes 70, sometimes 80 of those ER bays are taken up by patients who've been admitted to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
Leaving only a fraction of our ER bays to take care of emergency room patients.
Wow.
That is the issue that we're trying to solve by adding this 100 bed inpatient capacity.
So what's next with that particular 100 bed facility? So, you know, from a community standpoint, what will people see next? What's happening?
Sure.
What's the timeline?
So the timeline is that on March 19th, the commissioners, thank God, we had a unanimous vote, yes. They're going to hold a public hearing on March 19th. On that day, they can actually vote yes or no in allowing herself to proceed with acquisition of this piece of land through the powers of eminent domain. Once that happens, it's still going to take a few months. There needs to be a formal evaluation of the fair market value of this land. Herself will be asked to deposit that amount into, I'm going to call it an escrow account. I'm sure that's not accurate, but anyways, into an account. And then legalese are going to decide who gets how much money, because some of the money will go to the city of Houston since they're owner of the land, and some of the money will go to the people who have inherited the land. And that's going to take several months. But at the end of that, at the conclusion of that, Harrisdale would be able to start the designing and then finally breaking ground on that property. Once we break ground, within 2.5 to 3 years, we can actually start using that additional facility.
Why does it take so long?
It's a hospital.
I mean, simply put,
is it just red tape?
It's red tape. There's a lot of regulatory hurdles
that we have
to, because it's not just the city and the county. We actually also have to work with the state, Health and Human Services. So all those things have to be managed. And so it's not only just time, but it's also very, very expensive to build hospitals nowadays.
So let's shift gears a little bit. So we have a mutual friend that's at Park. So you were at Parkland Hospital in Dallas before. So our mutual friend, Miranda, who says hello and is super excited to hear this segment. So you were instrumental in leading this correctional health and population health initiative. And so, as a matter of fact, Miranda is like super engaged in this correctional health thing now as a result of your leadership. So what does that actually mean? Let's talk a little bit about that. And then also, second part of that question is, for folks that are new in the healthcare field, like what things do you think they need to educate themselves about? So to the point you made earlier, they can be ready for the next wave of whatever is going to be the need for the communities in healthcare.
So thank you for that. Yes. Now I'm going to go way back, right? So
time machine.
Time machine. So I did my training, obviously, at Harris Health. I don't know how obvious that is, but actually one of the physicians.
Oh, so you're one of the 45%. Yes, okay, there you go.
Yes, almost exactly 30 years ago. I did my training in internal medicine. I was fortunate to be a chief medical resident at UT. Did majority of my training actually at LBJ Hospital.
Huh.
So this is definitely homecoming for me.
Yeah.
After finishing my training, I was in charge of the emergency room at LBJ Hospital for a year, after which I moved entirely full-time taking care of inmates at the Harris County Jail. And I did that for 12 years.
Wow. So you were like the doctor at Harris County?
I was the doctor at the Harris County Jail.
Wow.
I took care of the clinic patients and the infirmary patients, tuberculosis patients. That's what I did. In 2007... Dallas County Jail was being sued by the Department of Justice for the lack of appropriate and adequate health care inside the jail. So Parkland Hospital, who at the time was in charge of providing care inside the Dallas County Jail, they were looking for a physician who understood public health, who understood correctional health, and here I was. So they recruited me, yes. So I moved to Dallas initially as member of Parkland Hospital, but strictly working inside the jail as the medical director of Dallas County Jail. Within 4 years, we actually created a standard within the Dallas County Jail where we had people from all over the United States and actually people from outside the United States. I remember having people from Spain who came to visit Dallas County Jail to learn about our processes because we were able to show that very, very efficiently we could actually improve the care to the point we were delivering better care than even in the community.
Oh, wow.
So that was 4 years. After that, I moved into the administration of Parkland Hospital in charge of the medical staff office. I was a chief medical officer for a year. I was a chief strategy officer before moving back to Houston and being blessed with the role that I'm in right now.
Awesome. So when we, you know, as we look forward to the future, so you've given us an overview of what's happening at LBJ, what's happening at Bentall, and a better understanding for sure of Harris Health as a system in general. So what's something that you're most excited about, like, say, over the next year or so as we wrap up our time together?
Yeah, what I'm most excited about, thank you so much for setting me up for this. I should have said this. Okay, so we are building a level one trauma capable hospital on the LBJ campus. God willing, we're going to be able to expand Bentall Hospital. What I am most excited about as a public health physician is the expansion of our clinics. So we are actually investing $500 million towards creation of three new clinics. I'll call them health centers in North, Northwest, and Southwest Harris County, but also expanding the capability and capacity of all our existing clinics.
40 of them, right?
You said 40 of them. And in addition, we have some clinics that are almost 50 years old and they have never been updated. So they absolutely need that investment. The sole purpose of that is going back to what I said initially. You know, people have asked me, Dr. Porso, what does success look like?
Yes.
Success in Harris Health looks like this. The day that we have empty hospital beds at Bentall and LBJ Hospital, that's when I know we have arrived at success.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. That lovely gives you a standing ovation.
I am sorry.
No, that was great. This was fantastic. Thank you so much because, you know, and for our listeners, if they want to learn more about what you're doing, what the whole system is doing, they just go to harrishealth.com.
Harrishealth.org.
Harrishealth.org.
I encourage everybody to please go there. There's a wealth of information. You know, as we were talking about people losing access to health insurance, you know, Harris Health is proud to provide patient financial assistance. Our eligibility process can also be accessed at harrishealth.org. I ask people to please, please, please do not let go of your health insurance, access to health care. We are here to help you take advantage.
Awesome. So harrishealth.org. Thank you so much. This has been so informative.
Incredible.
I mean, we thought we knew, but like we really know now. So thank you. And I'm sure our listeners are super excited too. And best wishes. So
thank
March
you.
19th is the day, right?
March 19th is the day.
We'll pray.
Well,
all right.
So congratulations. Thank you. Awesome.
Congratulations. Seriously. And with that, we'll be back.
Don't stop believing. Hold on to the feeling. Streetlight.
Are you a business owner and looking for a fun and low-cost way to advertise? Yes? Super! You should join our Culture Club HTX crew. Visit us at cultureclubhtx.com and click on Culture Club HTX crew or send us an email at connect@cultureclubhtx. You'll be happy you did.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now it's time to talk some business with Lisa Holland Nelson and Shavonna Robert Schreiber inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
And we're back.
Taking care of business. That's
you
what we're
bet it. I'm Lisa Holland Nelson, Bowman Lombardi, fashionista, bio babe, Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who's never walked a sideline, here today with my beautiful, blessed, best, black, bossy co-host. She's been really bossy today.
Oh, please.
She's trying to be Go ahead, call yourself whatever it is.
What?
Parliamentarian.
I'm trying to be.
Not good.
Okay.
You haven't been able to succeed.
Why? What does success look like as a parliamentarian?
You keep me from asking the last question. You keep me from rambling. You keep me from like
swooning, you know, swooning over Rick Smith. Okay.
That was last week. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
But you kind of were swooning this week too over Dr. Forsyth. You're like, he's just so great.
He is great. Don't you think he's great?
He is great. But
I'm so grateful he came on and explained all of it.
I know so much we didn't know. So, but and kind of in line with what we were talking about with Dr. Forsyth, he talked about the food pharmacies and how food is medicine. And that's a big part of what they're doing at Harris Health. So one of the things we're going to talk about is how meat snacks boom as weight loss drugs reshape the American diet.
So, America's snack giant spent 2 years monitoring while 15 million Americans stopped being hungry. Mm-hmm. You realize they're not hungry. Now, this is crazy. PepsiCo has lost $60 billion in value. Popcorn is dying, not for me.
Not yet.
And
hello.
Lay's is desperately cutting prices by 15% because people on Ozempic would rather buy one good steak than a bag of chips they won't finish.
That is
the junk food industry is in crisis.
Yep.
And there's no going back.
Well, what I think is most interesting is by 2035, which is only 9 years from now, that the prediction is nearly 10% of Americans will be on weight loss drugs of some sort.
They would be already, but they can't produce them fast enough.
Right. And so these meat snacks have become almost $6 billion industry. And they're the clear winner as Americans that are taking GLP-1s are, you know, needing to eat something. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, lovely. What? I'm looking at your face.
I'm just laughing. The meat stick once associated with gas stations and road trips has been rebranded as a wellness essential. I'm sorry. Every time I see one, you know, because I don't eat meat, but they have turkey ones now.
Yeah, they do. Things.
And I think, God, I would love that.
So here's the thing. So check this out. Speaking of
the meat sticks as kids.
From a business standpoint, so Cornell University analyzed 150,000 credit card transactions over the past 2 years of actual records. So, you know, people self-report and they lie.
Right.
So this data shows people just lie. That data shows that households where there's an individual taking GLP-1 drugs saw a 5.3 drop in food spending. So people legitimately are just spending less money on food.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah. And so the PwC survey found GLP-1 users spent an average of 11% less on most food categories, with the largest reductions in sweet and salty snacks and baked foods. That would be me.
I just think it's really interesting because I do think that we're, you know, this is the next new thing. So this, we're right at the beginning of this surge that's happening. And this is interesting because I think that what we'll see is the food that is being produced will become the junk food category more addictive because they're going to figure out a way to make you buy it. Like, trust and believe.
There's
like
something.
You're going to buy those damn Cheetos.
Yeah.
Or you're going to buy, you're like, this is not just going to go away. Do you remember when everything was sugar free? Like back in the day when Atkins and all these other things were super popular and they had these categories of like fake food. And then it shifted to more whole foods.
Oh, you should have real sugar.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
whole milk and cream. Cream is better than skim milk.
It's just interesting because I think that, you know, this is how we operate. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see these meat sticks start coming with all sorts of, you know, other
addictive
things in them. They're like, you're buying meat sticks? Let's make you buy more. What?
So, but what are the food companies doing?
Yeah, what are they doing?
Well, they're ramping up reduced sugar line extensions, obviously, creating smaller portion sizes for the same price, which is not a problem for them. They've been doing that for years. Developing high-protein versions of popular favorites, which goes off the wall because we don't need as,
much protein
as we think we need. So people are, that means nothing. And slapping protein claims on everything from dairy to coffee. I mean, one market research firm found that food and beverage innovation in 2024 reached an all-time low.
You know what? You rarely hear things reach an all-time low. I mean, you know what I mean? If you really think about it.
Especially on the innovation trail.
Like, like all-time low of innovation.
Yeah,
I'm
eating
sad.
Real celery.
That's kind of sad, right?
I mean, it's a shame. So
We'll watch this space.
We will. We will.
I'm almost thinking, is there a business that we need to go into related to this to capitalize on this cultural shift?
I don't know. I don't want it to be in the food business.
No, but I mean, it could be ancillary. It didn't have to be the food business. It could be something ancillary.
I think we go in dating business.
Well, you know, we're at number three, you know, leading single. So, I mean, we could do that.
I think that's what we do is the dating business.
And what are we going to do?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Well, we're going to close our show and we're going to think about it. Yeah. We're going to
stay tuned because we'll come back in the dating.
I think
dating stuff soon.
You know, you may not want dating advice from me, but I give good dating advice.
She's stuck on one thing with me, so it's not great dating.
Oh, please. No, it is great. You know why it's good? Because it's what you need to hear but don't want to hear, folks. You're welcome. Anyway, we're going to end the show. And what do we want people to do?
Be bold.
Uh-huh. Be elegant. Listen to Shivana. Keep going.
Stay focused.
Stay fit. Eat your meat sticks. What?
And stay fabulous.
Please.
Like us.
Because we got to hook you up in this dating thing we're going to do.
Stay tuned. Dating soon.
We'll see you next week. Bye. At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money.